I'm coming to you from the studio, Voice of Evangelism in Cleveland, Tennessee, with a brand new teaching series. There is a huge controversy on a subject called the rapture, and it deals with the return of the Lord. It's not so much a controversy on the idea of Christ returning, it's a controversy on when will it take place. What we're going to do today is not deal with when it will take place, but we're going to deal with the idea of the return of the Lord in general. Jesus Christ returns for the saints of God, and from that moment forward, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17, we will forever be with the Lord. Now that is what the theologians call the rapture. And it just comes out of that Greek word to be caught up, harpezo, which means to be snatched up suddenly or caught up. When St. Jerome translated the Bible from the Greek to the Latin, that's the word he used. It was a particular Latin word where we can derive the word rapture from, to be caught up. So that's when Christ returns, when he comes for the saints. And the second thing that happens is not only does he come for the living saints, but he raises the dead. These are called the dead in Christ. And the moment he returns, the dead in Christ rise first, then we who are alive are immediately changed, and we follow them together into the kingdom of God in heaven. The third thing is, at the conclusion of the church age, called the dispensation of the grace of God, is when this event will occur. And no one knows either the day or the hour of Christ's return. Neither does anyone know the exact time of the dispensation of the grace of God, when it climaxes, or what we would say when the church age climaxes. Now, the fourth thing is this, that this moves us from the transition from the age of grace to the beginning of the wrath of God. And I'll be doing a teaching series in the near future dealing with the transition of the church age and why I believe we're coming to the climax of the church age. Now, one of the questions that I have received over the years is this: Perry, why is it that this idea of a rapture was not taught in the Old Testament? Now, we have from Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi, and the rapture idea or the rapture concept was not taught in the Old Testament. Well, first of all, let me say this, that the return of Christ to the earth, or the return of Messiah to the earth to rule and reign, was made known throughout the Old Testament. In Jude 14, Jude writes that Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied of these sayings, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the earth." So there we see the Lord coming with his saints in Jude 14. And Enoch gave that prophecy, and Enoch was the seventh man from Adam. So that tells you how old that prophecy is. It's over 5,000 years of age. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, the prophet Zechariah had a vision, and he said the Lord would come back to the Mount of Olives, and the mountain would cleave in two parts, one part to the east and one part to the west, and the Lord would be king over all the earth. Now, once again, that's not the rapture, but that is the return of the Messiah to the earth to rule and reign. Another verse is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Here's what it says, that the Lord would be the king over all of Jerusalem. So the Lord comes back as king, and we see that in Revelation 19, where the Bible says that John saw Jesus on a white horse coming back to earth, and he had on his thigh and his vesture a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Revelation chapter 19 agrees with Zechariah chapter 14. In Zechariah 14 and verse 16, during the time that the Messiah comes back, the world will come together during the Festival of Tabernacles to worship him, the Messiah, in the city of Jerusalem. And of course, in Daniel chapter 7 and 22, the Messiah sets up his kingdom on earth. And it's also considered the stone kingdom in the vision that King Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 2 that comes crashing off of the mountain on the kingdoms of this world. And then, as Revelation declares, the day comes when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. Now, here's the point that I want to make. The appearing of the Messiah and the Messiah's reign on the earth was revealed to the Jews all throughout the Old Testament period and through the Old Testament era. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, they did not know who the Messiah was. They only had the prophecies or the prediction. And we know that Christ fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah when you begin to read the New Testament, comparing it to the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. But Paul comes along And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the very first of the 14 epistles that we believe that Paul wrote, and he gives us a revelation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the revelation of the gathering together, the coming of the Lord for the church, and the resurrection of the dead in Christ. And I'm going to use a theological word. Someone says, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word millennial reign is not in the Bible. The word second coming is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. We use in English certain theological words to describe events. So the rapture is a theological word to describe the event that Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Messiah's revelation is revealed in the Old Testament, but manifested through Christ in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Messiah was going to come to rescue Israel, rescue the Jewish people, and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. So this is something that was already known even when Christ appeared. It was already known and taught among the synagogues in Jesus' day. Now, Paul comes along after the ascension and resurrection. Let's get this in order. After the death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. And he comes along and he starts preaching something for the church. And he begins to talk about that the Lord is going to come back. And he's coming back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Paul's revelation was given not only concerning the coming of the Lord for the rapture, but scholars point out that the Apostle Paul was given approximately seven revelations that he gave in writing in his epistles, the 14 letters. And I'm assuming that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, so we add Hebrews in, making it a total of 14 letters that Paul wrote. But we see that there are seven distinct revelations that Paul gave. Now, we're not going to go through all of these, but let's talk about Paul for a moment. Now, who was the Apostle Paul, and why does God wait until the Apostle Paul is chosen as a vessel to minister to the Gentiles before he reveals this revelation of the rapture? I'm going to go through this very quickly. In Romans chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says that he was from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 original tribes of Israel. In Philippians chapter 3 and 5, he talks about he was educated under a great rabbi of his day, Rabbi Gamaliel, who was also a very leading Pharisee. In Acts chapter 9, 5 through 8, he was converted as a Pharisee, traveling on the road to Damascus with papers to arrest Christians. And you know the story, how the Lord blinded him with a great light, spoke to him in an audible voice, and actually he knew that Jesus was calling him into his ministry and the ministry of apostleship for the Gentiles. Now in Galatians chapter 1, 12 through 15, Paul says that he went into Arabia to receive the revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the scripture. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. Watch this now. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now, this is very important that you understand this, and it's where Paul makes the statement that he goes into Arabia in order to receive this revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, why does Paul go into Arabia? Because if you go to the book of Galatians, chapter 1:16, he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I did not go to Jerusalem. Verse 17, I went into Arabia. Then he ends up back to Damascus several years later. In fact, about 3 years later, he meets with the Apostle Peter in Jerusalem to discuss this idea of the Gentiles being grafted into this new covenant of the Messiah. The reason Paul went to Arabia, and don't miss this, if you've never heard this, it's fascinating. In Galatians chapter 4, 25, Paul says that Mount Sinai is in Arabia. Now, Arabia would probably likely be the area of what we call today Saudi Arabia. And it's a large area, not just wide, it's very large. And there is a place in Arabia where the traditional Mount Sinai had discovered. So Mount Sinai is literally in today the area that we would call Saudi Arabia. Now, here's the reason I believe that Paul went to Arabia, to Mount Sinai, which is in Arabia, to spend time receiving the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the reason. In Exodus 24 and 16, Moses received the Torah, the instructions in the five books that we call the five books of Moses, the Torah. The Pentateuch is the Greek word, Greek name. But Moses received the Torah on Mount Sinai, which was in Arabia. Now remember, the children of Israel were wandering through the desert back in that time, and they actually went into this area of Arabia for a long period of time and camped there. And so in Galatians 4:25, Mount Sinai is in Arabia, and in Galatians 1:15-17, Paul ends up going to Arabia to receive the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is interesting because in Exodus chapter 19, when Moses is with the Lord, we read that he's on top of the mountain, that there's thunder and there's lightning and there's all kinds of smoke and fire there. And it says, the Lord came down and Moses went up, and there was a voice of a shofar waxing loud and long. And in Hebrew terminology, it's the Tekiah HaGodolah, which is the last of the four trumpets blasts that are sounded on the festival of trumpets, and it's loud and it's long. You just hold your breath as long as you can while you're blowing through the shofar. Most people have heard us teach on this. So my point is that you've got to tie this together now. So God waits to receive, or to reveal, I should say, the revelation of the rapture until the Apostle Paul is called to minister to the Gentiles. And then God allows Paul to go to Mount Sinai, which is the spot, Exodus 19, where Moses is when the trumpet is waxing loud and long. He hears the voice of God. God comes down. Moses goes up. That's how it's worded. And that is a picture, an imagery of the rapture. So he goes to the place where God came down. Moses went up. God then, during the time that Paul was there, some suggest it was 9 months, others say it was several years, but Paul nonetheless receives a revelation of the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the Lord coming down and us going up, which is parallel to Exodus 19. I often hear people say, well, there's nothing in the Old Testament at all about the rapture. Well, there is imagery all throughout the Old Testament. Enoch is translated, Elijah is translated. There's an imagery of people being translated alive into heaven, according to Scripture. And you can read your Bible about this. I don't want to get sidetracked, but this is a fact. And then so you have that. You have Exodus 19, which is the imagery of the coming of the Lord as well that Paul revealed in Thessalonians. So my point is that God waited, number one, till Paul was converted to minister to the Gentiles. And then he gives Paul a message that no one had received, a mystery hid from the foundation of the world, that the Lord would return for his called out ones, his ecclesia, his church, and there would be a resurrection that would accompany that, and how they would go to heaven to be with the Lord. Now watch again. This type of teaching, you know, Daniel saw a judgment in heaven, and he saw the saints in heaven being judged. So obviously, Daniel knew that there would be people in heaven called saints that would be judged. Enoch saw the Lord coming back with his saints. Well, if he's coming back with them, obviously the saints have been with him, the Lord, in heaven. So what I'm saying is, although the verse doesn't state it, you can read the verse and take the words and the themes, and you can get this brilliant deduction of what the Word of God is saying and what it's predicting when you read the Scriptures. It's all completely there. So six important parallels occurred with Moses on Mount Sinai. And I want to get to these real quick if I can. Here we go. Here they are. Number one, Israel was a kingdom of priests and a peculiar treasure. Exodus 19, 5-6, and we are called a peculiar treasure unto the Lord, and we are called a kingdom of priests in the book of Revelation. Number two, The elders were assembled with Moses, Exodus 19:7, and there will be 24 elders in heaven when the church arrives at Christ's return. Number three, the Lord said, I will come in a thick cloud. That's Exodus 19:9. And we know that Jesus is coming with clouds. And we also know that we're caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's the cloud element in Exodus 19 and in the story of the rapture. The Lord said he would come down in the sight of the people, Exodus 19:11. And we know that not only does every eye see him at his return to earth, according to scripture, but we also know that to those who look for him, he shall appear, and we'll see him as he is, according to the New Testament. The voice of a trump waxed loud and long, Exodus 19:19. That's the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God that Paul alludes to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it's, this is the part I love. And the Lord came down, but Moses went up. Now, what happened? He went up to the top of the mountain, and God came down to meet him. But in our case, the Lord shall descend from heaven. That means he shall come down, and we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So Paul's Sinai revelation is connected to Exodus chapter 19, which is the imagery of the rapture. So for someone to say, well, you can't find any picture, imagery, type, or shadow of the rapture anywhere in the Old Testament. And again, they haven't fully understood perhaps the parallels, the patterns, and the types and shadows of the Bible. You know, I'm finding out that people will go to a website, internet site, YouTube channel, even hear somebody preach. And when they go and listen to somebody preach, they just take what they say and they just accept it immediately without knowing the history, the context, the other verses that tie together. And that's what I try to give you on Manifest. If I'm going to share something with any of you, I'm going to be able to prove from the Bible, not my tradition, not how I was raised, not custom, but from the Bible, what the Word of God has to say. So Paul gave us that rapture revelation. So once again, I want to show you this on the screen. For we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. And that word prevent means precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, just a moment ago, I gave you all of the parallels from Exodus 19, from the book of Revelation, 1 Thessalonians 4, about how the parallel is of these two events according to the word of the Lord. Now, the question arises, why is it that God waited until the raising up of the Apostle Paul to reveal to the world, to the church, the rapture revelation? Now watch this very carefully, because this explains why, first of all, you don't see this particular revelation that Paul gave alluded to in detail anywhere in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was part of what we call the first covenant, and the New Testament is the new covenant with Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is predominantly all about Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. The New Testament consists, especially when you come into the book of Acts and you read the epistles, a Gentile branch of the church has been brought into the covenant. Number one, God waits till the Apostle Paul becomes the Apostle Paul before he reveals the revelation of the rapture. Paul is converted. If you look at Acts 7, 8, and 9, that time frame, you'll discover that after Paul is converted is when the Gentiles were grafted into the new covenant in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius and his family were the very first family to be grafted in. So Paul has to become the Apostle Paul, who is the minister to, and this is how he says it. He said, Peter is for the circumcised, but I'm a minister to the uncircumcised. Galatians 2, 7 through 10. So Paul has to be converted first, and the Gentiles have to be grafted into the covenant, and that's the order. You go to about Acts 9, 10, right in there. That's all happening. And when the Gentiles are being grafted in, Paul is in Arabia getting the revelation of the rapture, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and the other seven revelations that he later talks about, that he writes about in his epistles. Number two, and I said this a moment ago, that the church originally, let me say it this way, If you look at the book of Acts and the Gospels, the ecclesia or the church, the called out ones, were all Jews at first. The day of Pentecost was a Jewish festival when the church is born in Acts chapter 2. However, the Gentiles become grafted into the covenant, and so you have the Romans 11, the olive tree with the Gentile branch being grafted into the tree of Israel. And so God waits till Paul is the apostle, till he's called and chosen to give Paul a revelation, because he will present this message to the Gentiles. And the third thing you have to understand is this, and I want to say this carefully, but I want you to understand this. The rapture teaching is not a revelation for Israel. It is a revelation for the church. The revelation for Israel is the Messiah is coming to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem. That is the revelation. We don't have time to go through this, but start at Genesis, go all the way to the book of Malachi. That is the revelation, because see, watch this. Israel's promises are earthly. A land, a city called Jerusalem, a place in Jerusalem called the Temple Mount where the temple is built. Anytime you see promises given to the Hebrew people, they are land, earth promises. All the church's promises are heavenly. A heavenly city, the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to continue a series. And next week, I want to let you aware of this. I'm going to get into something that was the greatest revelation that I ever saw and ever researched. And I'm going to give it to you next week on the Manifest Telecast. Now, I have something very special. Some of you may already have this. If you do not have this offer, if you haven't researched this and gone in depth with what I'm about to give you, this is a great time to get one of the best offers and one of my favorites. Be back in a minute. I want you to see and hear my most requested and my favorite teaching of all time, the Rapture Revelation. You can glean from 1,400 hours of detailed research on the subject of the Rapture. This 5 DVD, that's 10 hours of teaching, unlocks this mystery. Digging deep into both Testaments using Hebrew and Greek word studies, mysterious prophetic patterns, ancient Jewish customs, rabbinical insight, and early church writings to present a detailed explanation of the coming of the Lord for the church. The first DVD is titled The Rapture, A Revelation Revealed to the Apostle Paul. You will discover how this was revealed to Paul on Mount Sinai in Arabia. You will learn 8 different activities to occur at the rapture, and I will explain 8 different Greek words used in the New Testament that detail Christ's return. The second DVD is The Prophetic Timing of the Rapture. I will give you 8 examples of the righteous escaping wrath and 4 clues pointing to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. Learn how in the book of Revelation, the 24 elders, the 7 sealed book, and other imagery reveals a pre-tribulation return. I will also answer numerous controversial questions about the timing of Christ's return. The third DVD covers the subject of the rapture, Israel's feast and harvest cycles. You will discover how Israel's 7 festivals conceal amazing prophetic information about the rapture. The mystery of the shofar, how Israel's yearly harvest cycles encode the pattern of the catching away. Discover 9 events that you will experience the moment Christ returns. Also, DVD number 4 is so exciting, The Rapture and the Mysterious Book of Remembrance. I will show you from Malachi 3, a key to going in the rapture is your name being in the Book of Remembrance. You will see how being an overcomer is different from a non-overcomer as it relates to the return of Christ for the church. You will see how the Feast of Trumpets is linked with the Book of Remembrance and how the rapture is designed as a special blessing to the believer. Now, not only that, but I've included a 5th DVD, the reenactment of the Jewish wedding with 100 cast members using props and costumes, showing you not only the ancient Jewish wedding, but highlighting 14 keys of how the Jewish wedding points to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. These 5 DVDs in this beautiful album are for a donation of just $65 or more. Order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. And ask for offer RA-137. Or order online at perrystone.org. You may also order by mail by writing me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Again, that offer request is RA-137. You will learn a lot, so don't delay. Get your DVDs now. Well, we just got through taping update on the Ashes of the Red Heifer on our YouTube channel. We hope you watch that. But give me your attention for a moment. There has not been a teaching in the body of Christ the past 25 years that is more controversial, when it really should not be, than the teaching called the rapture. And I taught 8 hours on the subject of the rapture, from types and shadows, Old Testament patterns, from the New Testament, from the Greek word studies, Hebrew word studies. I mean, it's power-packed 8 hours. And then another DVD with the 4 Passover cups and also the reenactment of the Jewish wedding, our most popular DVD in history. But if you have not studied the rapture teaching in detail, this is the most detailed teaching, I promise you, that you will ever hear. And it will answer questions like the seventh angel in Revelations, when the rapture is, and the last trump is the last trump of the seventh angel. It is not. And we will go, the elect is, you know, he will gather his elect from the four winds of heaven, Matthew 24. That's the rapture. It is not. And I just want you to get this. Whatever you got to do to invest in this, and you will spend hours and hours of enjoyment and learning, and it will thrill you to get this. So that's the teaching available through Manifest right now. Please get that. All right, let me talk to you. Now, all you folks in Houston, I'm going to come down there October 28th through the 30th, Friday, on 2 services Saturday, and also all day Sunday at Abundant Life Christian Center, Lamarck, Texas. Now, I have not seen you Houston folks and all you folks from Galveston in years. So you better come out there and be with me. I'm telling you right now, drive in. Even if it's for a day or for even a service, at least come and try to be at all of it. It's going to be powerful. And then we're going to come November 6th to Upper Room Revival Center in Corbin, Kentucky. All you folks in that part of Kentucky, drive over November 6th, Pastor Mark Gilbert's church, and we're going to be there all day on Sunday, all day. Don't miss that. I can't wait. I love Kentucky people, man, up in those, man. I love you guys, and we want to see you there. And then I just want to put this out in advance. Springfield, Missouri, first time ever, on November 11th, 12th, 13th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Dr. Janelle Morocco's church is called Kings in Springfield. And everybody that has ever watched me on Manifest, that watches my YouTube channel, if you're from the Springfield, Missouri area, you got to come to this meeting. I want to be there. And let me just mention also that a lot of times we don't bring a lot of stuff, but some of our new material that we offer on the telecast, we'll have it there in these particular conferences, and sometimes we'll do some things with that. And then we're going to be coming to Hawaii on February 5th through the 8th, to King's Chapel East Honolulu, February 9th through the 22nd at King's Cathedral of Maui in Hawaii. So go to peristone.org for more information to keep up with our itinerary. We're going to have a Warrior Fest next March, end of March, in Toledo, Ohio. Then we're going to have a Warrior Fest in July, our big youth conference here in Cleveland, Tennessee. We're going to have a Prophetic Summit in June. We've got a lot of things coming up next year, and we're going to be doing a lot of new DVDs and new material that I want to make available to you. And you remember this, purchasing this is what helps us pay our TV airtime. I don't take a penny out personally. I never have done that. It goes to help the ministry. So please support it when you can. Thank you, and I'll see all of you, the Lord willing, next week on Manifest.